because nobody is ever satisfied with just one.
Left from McNabb, bottom of the circle. From the corner, he saucered in front. Stone scores! Flips it in out of midair on a centering pass by McNabb.
We're back with another helping of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
5 seconds to go. Faber, another shot blocked on the outside. 2-1 goes across the slot, and the game is over. Vegas survives and marches on to the second round.
Streaming at lvsportsnetwork.com and live from the Richard Harris Law Firm Studios, it's Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Let's get into it. We've got a couple of days before Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals, so we'll save some of our analysis and conversation as we get closer to Game 1 on Wednesday. Darren Millard, Ryan Wallace, and Chris Chapman. Chapman with a big announcement that he's going to be moving to the Far East, to Japan, with his wife. So this is going to be his stretch drive, his final farewell. Not today, but over the next couple of weeks, so we'll enjoy and really celebrate Chris Chapman's contributions to the VGK Insider Show. Were you a day oneer with the VGK Insider Show?
Yeah, Chapman? I was day
you
one,
were, eh?
Day bleeping one.
Wow,
sure was.
Yeah,
well, that's good. That's good. We got a lot of things that we can really turn the corner on.
Yeah, and I want to add to this that my dogs
doesn't,
are.
He doesn't even notice, does he?
No, I don't know what you, but.
Turn the corner.
Yeah.
Oh,
but I want to add, so because people might wonder, my dogs are coming with me. We're bringing the dogs.
I don't think
us,
anybody
so.
Wondered.
No, my dogs are a big part of my life. So
You said you were bringing the dogs
yeah,
with you.
You said.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I didn't remember if I
Why,
said
were you
that.
Getting? Were you getting queries about what's happening to your dogs?
Someone texted me. They're like, what are you doing with the dogs? Like,
what were they wow. like looking to take them?
No, I think they were mad that, but at the idea that maybe I was leaving them.
Maybe so. They could get a good deal on a couple of puppies?
On a poodle and a doodle?
Yeah.
Maybe, yes. Nope.
Not a chance you were leaving the dogs
no.
here.
No, that's actually why I'm still here, because mm-hmm. we had to wait for them
not to finish out the show.
Well, I'm glad I got to finish out the show, but.
Okay. No, there's no chance good. He was staying for the show.
That's good. Love it, Chapman.
There's
Love it.
No chance he was staying for the show.
My plan was always to stay until the Golden Knights season came to an end. So, mm-hmm.
Can you do me a favor?
What's that?
When you get settled
yes.
in Japan, where are you going to be over there?
We're going to be about an hour south of Tokyo.
Okay, hour south of Tokyo. And you start throwing your name around. Hey, I was like,
don't you know who I am?
I was part of a big show, ice hockey,
number one sports was, show in Vegas.
Yeah, I was part of the most listened to sports show in Vegas, Las Vegas, and covering ice hockey. So if you need somebody to talk ice hockey, don't tell them the name of our show.
Okay. I'll just drop your name.
No. Don't you?
Yeah,
never,
put Darren Millard down as your number
you've
one.
You've never
reference.
Met me.
He was here for the Olympics. You know.
Yes, and you know, that's a whole. They might remember me based on the shenanigans of trying to get me into the country there. But don't tell them you know us, because when you do go on the air and you're talking ice hockey. We don't want that to get back to us.
No.
So you just, you're a big fan, and tell them you had like a 7-year career. Make up whatever story you want.
Yes.
As long as it doesn't come back to us.
Just make sure you really hammer home how much journalistic integrity you have.
Yes. Someone texted Please. Him, by the way.
Yep. It's Sean.
Sean. Whoever replaces me, they better have journalistic integrity.
Why couldn't you give Sean credit?
Because I wasn't looking. His text was on a different page, and I didn't remember the name of the person who said it. So Ryan remembered.
Someone sent yes. a text to me, yes. making yeah. it sound like it was top secret.
No. Oh, no. Sean, about the dogs? No, that wasn't Sean.
No,
Sean,
it wasn't. No, that's not what we were.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Off the rails.
So I talked about this going into commercial break. Teeing up hour number two. Mm-hmm. And the interesting history that is in front of the Florida Panthers. Let's start here, and then I'll get to what my point is in a couple of seconds.
Okay.
Look at, because we're going to the final, you start really lining up your ABCs, who the Conn Smythe Trophy favorites are.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So on Edmonton, you've got the leading scorer is Connor McDavid. Leon Draisaitl is right there. I thought Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was the best player in the Dallas series.
Yep.
You could also go with Stuart Skinner and his turnaround. Now, I don't think you can lose your net and then get it back and still be a Conn Smythe Trophy winner. But he'll get some votes. But there's four or five guys. Corey Perry, I think if he has a great final, could be in the mix. Wouldn't that be interesting? A guy that won the Stanley Cup in 2007 and has a chance to win the Stanley Cup again. So there's a handful of great candidates that have separated themselves on the Edmonton other side. On the Florida Panthers, there's a group.
Mm-hmm.
But not a elite group by their stats. They're great players, and Florida doesn't get here without these players and their contributions. But the stats are not what you would call eye-grabbing, eye-catching. Like, Sasha Barkov's a point-per-game player.
Sure.
But that's... That in the Stanley Cup playoffs doesn't get you top five. So who in the Florida Panthers would be their Conn Smythe Trophy favorite? Would it be Sergei Bobrovsky? Would you go Sasha Barkov, even though he's like sixth in points or seventh in points, tied for fifth, but around there? Kachuk is just barely in the top ten with Sam Bennett.
I would go Sam Bennett.
There's nobody there that if Florida wins a close series is the no-brainer Conn Smythe Trophy winner. Which leads me to my point. In 2023, Vegas wins against Florida, who got to the Stanley Cup final, and the Conn Smythe Trophy winner comes from the winning team.
Yep.
Last year, Florida won the Stanley Cup in a memorable, epic seven-game series in which they led 3-0 in the final and had to rely on a 2-1 win in Game 7. And the Conn Smythe Trophy, rare as it is, went to a player from the losing side in Connor McDavid.
Yep.
If Florida wins a close series again this year and nobody has a career series, let's say like a Rantanen-type series, or even a really good series, could it be, and you're expecting McDavid or Draisaitl to have good series, could the Florida Panthers go to three straight Stanley Cup final series and not produce a Conn Smythe Trophy winner? Like, it's lined up for that possibility.
Yeah, it's there. I don't believe that they will. If the Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup, I think the Conn Smythe winner will be from the Florida Panthers. Unless
McDavid has 9 more points than the leading scorer from the Florida Panthers.
I understand that, but Sam Bennett leads the playoffs in goals with 10. So, like, you only need Sam Bennett to come through with 3 or 4 goals in the final and finish atop.
Which is
that.
A lot, three or four goals in the final.
It is, but that's something he's absolutely capable of doing. So, like, in that scenario, if Barkov's still a point-per-game player, if the Panthers win, I don't think you're going back to the well with a McDavid or Draisaitl as your Conn Smythe winner in a losing effort. I don't think you can do that legitimately.
It's voted on by a group of media members.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the entire Professional Hockey Writers Association. It's a small group, and you've got people from the East and people from the West, people that have watched both sides of the conference divide. So they're familiar, and there is extra emphasis on the final. That's the way it has always been. But the reality is you could make a better case this year for an Oiler winning the Conn Smythe in a losing effort than last year. And it happened a year ago. Wouldn't that be wild, though? If you go to three straight finals and you don't have the Conn Smythe trophy winner, I'm rooting for it.
I mean, here's the thing, though. Like, Sergei Bobrovsky's the only goaltender with double-digit wins in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only goalie with double-digit wins in the playoffs. There are avenues that you can utilize to get the Conn Smythe to a player on the Florida Panthers.
It doesn't happen to Bobrovsky. That doesn't happen a lot to begin with.
I agree.
Team member wins the Conn Smythe.
Right. I know that McDavid and Draisaitl and the numbers that they're putting up are ridiculous. I know that it would be easy, especially in a close series, especially if it goes seven, especially if we're talking about another 10 or 12 points for one or both of those guys, because that's what they're capable of doing. But unless there's a moment or a game where McDavid or Draisaitl or Nugent Hopkins or Corey Perry scored seven goals in the Stanley Cup final, unless something like that happens, you have to look at what the Florida Panthers were able to accomplish as a team, and you've got to single out one guy that delivered in those moments.
If there's double-digit separation in points between the Connor McDavid or Draisaitl and the top Florida Panther player, it's mm-hmm. there. And certainly it's six times, only six times has a player on the losing team won the Conn Smythe. And the Conn Smythe hasn't been around forever. So we're talking like 60 years, 70 years. I'll get you the exact dates on how long the Conn Smythe.
But Crozier,
like, Hall, Hextall, and Jaguar, four of them were goaltenders. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to happen. With all due respect, if Edmonton loses, their goaltender is not going to win. McDavid is one of two forwards or skaters to win the Conn Smythe in the losing effort. Reggie Leach in 76, where the Flyers went to three straight Stanley Cup finals, and they were stopped by the Montreal Canadiens, and then Connor McDavid last year.
I mean, McDavid's got six goals, same as Alexander Barkov. Mm-hmm. Leon Draisaitl's got seven goals, just one better than Alexander Barkov, and neither one of those guys has as many goals as Sam Bennett with 10. So while I understand what you're saying, and while I look at the point totals for McDavid and Draisaitl being so much better than Barkov, who tops out at 17 points, and Matthew Tkachuk, who tops out at 16, same with Sam Bennett, I just don't think that there's going to – I don't think that those players on Florida can't bridge the gap if they win the series to change the tide or stem the tide of giving the Conn Smythe to another player in a losing effort.
I see goals being a difference maker if the points are total, like they were in 23. I think that was your tiebreaker. Why Jack didn't win the Conn Smythe trophy.
Sure.
But in this case, if the points are so lopsided, and we'll see. And the Conn Smythe first presented in 1965, Jean Béliveau, the great gentleman, with the Montreal Canadiens won it. So significant anniversary for the Conn Smythe trophy. And only six times since 65. And one year there wasn't a presentation, but only six times in all those years has it gone to a team a player from the losing team. And could it happen back-to-back years in a rematch? It's something that popped out at me as I was doing my prep for the show today.
Yeah, that is pretty wild, because it wouldn't just be back-to-back. It would be 3 years in a row in the final where the Florida Panthers don't have a Conn Smythe winner. I'll throw one more name in terms of dark horse Conn Smythe winners out of the Florida Panthers. Carter Verhaeghe. Yeah, mainly because the guy scores massive goals and lots of game winners, series clinchers. That's what Verhaeghe does. So even though he's only got 14 points and even though he's only got 6 goals, if you throw in a couple of game-winning goals in the final, maybe there's enough there to, again, lean toward a Conn Smythe winner out of Florida. I don't see the avenue. But then again, we haven't watched the games. They haven't been played yet. And a lot of this is going to be informed in what happens in the final. If McDavid and Draisaitl go absolutely bananas, then sure, give them the Conn Smythe. It happened last year, and I was firmly on board through the first 3, 4, 5 games of that series that I didn't care what McDavid had done. It didn't matter to me what he had done. If the Florida Panthers won the series, the Florida Panthers would have the Conn Smythe winner. And then McDavid went absolutely bananas, and even though going into game seven, I said that based on the performance in games 5 and 6 from Connor McDavid, he locked up the Conn Smythe. So I'm willing to have my mind changed, but it's going to take something spectacular in a losing effort to get it done.
Mm-hmm. McDavid was 20 points clear a year ago, mm-hmm.
yeah.
than Sasha Barkov. The top 4 players were point producers, were all Oilers. Top 3 mm-hmm. clear, and then Hyman was tied with Barkov. In goals, yeah, Hyman was 16 and Verhaeghe was 11 and Draisaitl was 10. So points carried the weight last year.
When you're that far ahead of everybody else.
Right.
That
makes
a lot of sense.
He's 9 now. Could he get to 15 and lose? I could see it. And again, it really means nothing. It's just an interesting idea of the balance and depth of how the Florida Panthers are built. And they learn from Vegas how you build a team. You don't need one contribution from your first line to carry the weight. You need everybody, and Vegas learned that this year. Like, you do need everybody mm-hmm. producing, or yep. you're not going to have the success. When you got it going, and you can roll out your lines, and you can be good on both ends of the ice. We'll talk about the Selke Trophy in just a little bit. Really excited about that. But they did learn. Just it's never even been a thought that you could win back-to-back cups and not have a Conn Smythe Trophy winner. Now, the people that vote, they won't be told by the National Hockey League mm-hmm. about, hey, we should probably have somebody from the winning team. That will never happen, and I don't want anybody to think that could happen. Even if McDavid is lights out, we should probably have somebody from the winning team. It'll be voted on with a clear conscience, mm-hmm. but it will become a story as it gets closer. And while nobody's told that you have to vote one side or the other, it will get into people's thoughts mm-hmm. about it. And whether we like it or not, you're guided by conversation that even you're not a part of, that you just hear. There's a reason why juries are sequestered. You don't want to yeah. you don't want to hear sure. all the chatter, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not comparing Conn Smythe Trophy winning to a jury trial, but the influence of dialogue, whether it's in social media or whether it's on the broadcast and so forth, does have an influence.
What would you even do if you're McDavid in that point or in that scenario? Like, could you imagine being a player like McDavid who goes to the Stanley Cup final back to back, loses both times, but is the Conn Smythe winner both times? Like, that would suck. That would suck.
History. Never happened
before. That's history you don't want to, that is history you don't want to be a part of.
Yeah.
Like,
would that not sum up the Oilers? And maybe not as much this version of Edmonton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But of the Oilers, front-loaded team, mm-hmm. lean on their stars.
Yep.
The two superstars of the Edmonton Oilers. Like, that would really tell a story that we're living right now.
That would be brutal. I hope that that's not the case. And that's not me sitting here saying I hope that the Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup and have a Conn Smythe from the winning team win it. But I hope for Connor McDavid's sake that, or even Leon Draisaitl, it doesn't matter. Pick anybody on the Edmonton Oilers, because it's going to be hollow. You saw how much it hurt McDavid last year to have to do that again. Boy, oh boy, that's not something that I'd wish on anybody. And, like, I get it. You're getting an achievement. You're getting an accomplishment. You're the MVP of the playoffs, for crying out loud. But that is something you do not want in your legacy. You just don't.
So you do put extra emphasis on goals.
I think that they matter. I think that they're important. Like, if McDavid and Draisaitl don't get the double digits and Sam Bennett's got 12 and he leads the league at the end of the playoffs in goal scoring, and throw in a game winner, or even, let's just get a little crazy here, a series clincher, I think it's a no-brainer. I really do.
So Draisaitl and Perry lead Edmonton with 7 goals.
Yep. So they're 3 behind Bennett right now going into the final.
And then McDavid has 6. Mm-hmm. And then Nugent Hopkins got 5. And I think Nugent Hopkins is a candidate right now.
I mean, he had 9 points going into the Western Conference final. He doubled his point production in the Western Conference final.
He was
final
the best player in that series.
I agree.
And the 100% hockey drink reader, 100% hockey hero of each series. John and I both voted Nuge as the Oilers MVP of that Western Conference final.
82 minutes into the show before our first 100%.
Yeah, it was on
reference.
My mind a couple of times, but I don't want Rita to get hammered. I'm trying to protect her a little bit. Because I didn't know she was drinking that.
Come on. People are doing that from, I don't know, jump with 100% hockey. I think they're all on board.
We did have a good show today with Rick Bonus.
Oh, Rick Bonus? That's
Rick
fun.
Rick Bonus. And it's interesting because Rick knows Jay Gottinger really well.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And talked a little bit about that, the controversy in the Western Conference final, Game 5, mm-hmm. in which Pete DeBoer took Jay Gottinger out after 2 goals.
Yep.
And I think Bonus is, he knows Jake really well, and so he feels bad about what happened to the goaltender. But as a coach, I think you can see it both ways. Mm-hmm. I personally like the call. Like, Game 5, the goaltender, and we know that Pete's been stewing about it because in his post game he brought up last year's performance by Ottinger,
yep.
and then cited this year's level of play by his goaltender. So it's been on his mind that he might have been running up against kryptonite here, the kryptonite of Jake Ottinger. So if that's what you're thinking, mm-hmm. you got to take him out because you got no chance. Now, where the stumble came was in the same place that Jim Hiller fell on his face. Mm-hmm. Is your players got to back you up? Jim Hiller challenges the goal. It's not successful. And then the penalty kill gives up a goal in 10 seconds. If they get through that, it's not a topic. It's not a talking point. The players let Jim Hiller down, and Casey DeSmith or the Dallas Stars let Pete DeBoer down by allowing that third goal.
I would argue the Dallas Stars let themselves down based on how they started that game. There really wasn't much help for Jake Oettinger.
The goals weren't bad.
I didn't mind the goalie pull. I didn't love the commentary after.
He was honest. That's what I liked about the commentary.
No, that's fine. But you go back to the last three Western Conference Finals for Pete DeBoer. He's 5-12.
Yeah,
that's his record.
And like, is that because of goaltending? Is that?
It's because they don't score. Yeah. They don't score in the third round. They just don't.
So, I appreciated it, but I will say, Scott O'Neill had the exact same choice.
Mm-hmm.
In game 7 against St. Louis.
Yep.
Yeah. And I talked about it, and I wondered at the moment whether he would take Connor Hellebuyck out. He didn't, and I think part of that was St. Louis totally changed their strategy, their approach. They sat back. They didn't do what they did before. Sure. I do not, and I will stand by this until my final breath. Connor Hellebuyck did not win that game for Winnipeg. St. Louis and their change, how they approached it, lost the game for the St. Louis Blues. But he could have taken Hellebuyck out, and that would have been a story. He didn't. Now, is that because one's Eric Comrie, one's Casey Smith? I don't know. Casey Smith, very good goaltender. Eric Comrie's a good goalie, but it's not like Casey Smith has real high regard there. That decision to take Oettinger out so early will rival Jim Hiller and the poor challenge as two of the top five stories from this postseason, no matter what happens in the Stanley Cup final, no matter if the Florida Panthers go 0-3 with Conn Smythe Trophy winners.
I don't think you're wrong there. And like I said, I didn't mind the goalie pull. I understand the line of thinking, and I understand what Pete was trying to do. I just didn't love the rationale afterward. That wasn't, to me, if you're looking at it objectively and you're looking at moving forward, and it's hard to do that in the raw emotion after a loss. I get all that. But you can't announce to the world that you believe your franchise goaltender can't beat the Edmonton Oilers. I know what the records say. I know what the track record will tell you based on what the last 2 years in the conference final were for Jake Oettinger. But it wasn't just that for Jake Oettinger. It was that for the Dallas Stars too. And you're not going to win games if you can't score goals. You're just not. I know that you're hoping your goaltender bails you out. But the fact of the matter is, if you're averaging 1 to 1.25 goals per game over the final four games of a series, you're going to lose that series every single time.
Yeah. Goalie's got to stop pucks, right?
And I know, but I'll the rest of your team has to score
and
goals.
I'll suffer the 3-day suspension from my union card. But
Darren,
they
scored 5 goals in 4 games. They scored as many goals the rest of the series as they did in one period in game 1. That's
Here's
not
the
enough.
Thing. You weren't even close, though. You didn't even give your team a chance. And that's where it comes to rest on the goal thing. No, nobody, well, maybe somebody did ask you to play goal. Jake Oettinger was funny. He's like, I don't know why I'm in this position. Why even
good,
even
good
even
for
down this path? But that's the reality of it. You got to, if your team's not scoring, you can't allow any. If you're like the great stories that we talk about over the years with Grant Fier, they scored 7, so he only had to hold the other team to 6, mm-hmm. and he was lauded for that. It's great if you got that, but you got to play to the team that's in front of you, and that's the disappointing part for Oettinger. And I can see where there's sympathy for him on that. But if your team's going to score 1 or 2 a game, you got to hold the other team to 1 or less a game. The less is perfection. And That's the reality of it.
Yeah, well, that's fine if they're scoring two goals a game. They're not even
or
doing
one.
That.
Yeah, or one. Yeah. You can't allow any. Yeah, is it unfair?
Unfair. Then you're going to have to.
But that's the only shot you got. It's the only chance you got.
Or the rest of your team can play better. The Dallas Stars played a terrible opening period in game number five.
Like, now, they only get that far because Mika Rantanen was out of his mind.
Right.
If not for seven minutes,
Mika Rantanen in game seven.
And I'll go back to what my good friend Steve Alakette said at the start of the playoffs. There's something missing there. And I was surprised at how strong, and Steve Alakette, former National Hockey League goaltender, runs ClearSight Analytics, which is used by several teams, and is a broadcaster with the New York Rangers. He's just a cool dude to talk to and bounce stuff off of. But he was firm, very strong on his concern about Jake Oettinger in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And he and I would go back and forth a little bit of wondering whether he wanted to take some of that back. Never wavered. And in the end, it's kind of proven to be right. Now, Jake Oettinger learns from this, just like Connor Hellebuyck will learn from what he went through, just like what Sergei Bobrovsky has learned from over the years, and try to be better. But he was part of the problem, the lack of scoring concern, but you're still part of the loss that took place there. I didn't actually intend for that to turn into such a spirited discussion, but people are torn on that. And more people have sympathy for Jake Oettinger than the Stars coaching staff. But you're not doing it in game one, two, or three, but given what happened last year and this year, you're like, what are the chances he's going to be able to shut the door from here on in? That's what Pete DeBoer was thinking, and he went with his gut. If Oettinger stays in and allows another goal, I know with hypotheticals, the first question he's being asked is, were you thinking about pulling him? He did. But we saw two examples of it. Let's take a break. Got some developing storylines from around the National Hockey League and one-timers. That's all coming up on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for one-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
Had a couple of trophy announcements today and presentations. Sasha Barkov, captain of the Florida Panthers, won the King Clancy Trophy, and that is for community involvement and giving back. Just a wonderful sort of, we're all aware of what people in Vegas do, thinking Jack Eichel and best buddies and so forth, and Jack was certainly a candidate for this award, but the King Clancy trophy goes to Sasha Barkov, and he also won the Selke Trophy for best defensive forward. And that was a good chance that was going to happen, because two members of the Florida Panthers were finalists for that that award. But it's the Selke Award, which I have great disdain for the way it's determined. I have no trouble with the actual award and rewarding paying attention to your own zone, but the fact that two finalists were from the same team bothers me. Like, Florida shouldn't give up a goal if you've got the two best defensive forwards on your team.
Sure.
And not taking anything away from everybody else, but anyway, there you go.
Well, that was Sasha Barkov's second consecutive Selke Trophy and third of his career. And here's what I found really interesting and funny is 43 players received votes for the Selke. 43.
Was that more or less than last year? Check that.
I think it's right on par, but I'll take a look.
Yeah. So I went through some of the voting today.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say it makes for some interesting research. When you consider, you said 43, right?
43, yep.
43. Pugh Suter, Vancouver, got a vote. Evan Rodriguez, there's four Florida Panthers that got votes for the Selke. Ilya Mikheyev of Chicago, he got a vote. Didn't see him getting there. Quinton Byfield, I think that he's a blossoming player, but he got a vote. Didn't see that. Like, there's just so many players that you go, oh, didn't see that. The issue, what makes my case is Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby finished 31st in voting.
Mm-hmm.
With one fourth place vote. Sidney Crosby, I would not consider a defensive liability.
Mm-hmm.
In any case. Is he the best defensive guy? Is he a shutdown guy? No. But he got one fourth place vote. Warren Fogle got more than him. Dylan mm-hmm. Holloway got more than him. Braden mm-hmm. Point got more than him. Pierre-Luc Dubois. Now, Dubois only got one vote, but it was a second place vote. Yeah. Alexei Protas of the Washington Capitals got two votes.
Yeah.
To finish in this. Robert Thomas, Robert Thomas is one to watch. He will be part of this conversation going forward mm-hmm. because he has really elevated his game on that side, and that'll be fun to follow. For Vegas, Mark Stone received three votes, a second, a fourth, and a fifth vote.
Mm-hmm.
So he finished 19th, Mark Stone. Three votes. We've been talking about Mark Stone's excellence on the defensive side of the puck and being able to read plays.
Yep.
He barely cracked the top 20. And if you're wondering about Jack Eichel, he was fifth in voting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
256 points because it's a weighted system. Jack received five first-place votes, 12 second, 12 third, 16 fourth, and 14 fifth. So Jack was a whisker away mm-hmm. from challenging.
Yeah.
Now, a little bit more than a whisker, but Barkov's, Reinhart, and Cirelli were hands down the top three.
41 players last year. 41 players received a vote in the Selke voting last year, 43 this year.
Do you have the individual totals there? Can you tell me where Austin Matthews finished last year?
Yeah, give me one. Well,
because Austin Matthews only
talk for a minute, I'll get there.
Yeah, Austin Matthews only got three votes this year. Now, he was hurt,
mm-hmm.
but the way people in Toronto talk about him, He
finished third last year.
Yeah. So he didn't have a great season this year and was hurt. But to fall from third to 14th.
What's really funny about Austin Matthews finishing third last year is that he only had two first place votes.
Mm-hmm.
So Eichel this year had more first place votes than Austin Matthews did last year. And Matthews was top three.
Mm-hmm.
Eichel was fifth.
Leon Draisaitl was sixth. Mitch Marner was seventh. If I'm Mitch Marner, I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Look,
I can play on that side of the puck.
I'm a Selke guy now.
Andy Kopitar was eighth. Like Adam Lowry was mm-hmm. tenth. I consider Adam Lowry pretty good player. Like, there's no rhyme or reason. Who were your top five last year?
Alexander Barkov, mm-hmm. Jordan Staal, Austin Matthews, Sam Reinhart, and Andrei Kopitar.
Yeah, just it's frustrating. But I'm glad we get that out of the way. I think it should be a group of GMs, coaches, and if you want to put some media people in there, fine. Mm-hmm. But a small group of media people. But GMs and maybe a handful of GMs, and then 5 GMs, 10 coaches, and 3 media members. Or 4, because you got to have equal sides. Even numbers. So that's the way I would do it on that one. But it's challenging. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Catching Up with Chapman next on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
Oh, Christopher.
Hi, Darren. So I'm going to follow a lot of the listeners and give who I'm rooting for in this cup final. And I don't think anyone mentioned this as a reason why they were rooting for the Florida Panthers. I'll have to go back and double check.
Are you flexing right now?
No.
That's what you're doing. Nobody mentioned this, so I'm going to be smarter.
No, it's not about being smarter. It has nothing to do with being smarter.
You're framing it as the best take of the day.
No, yes.
You are.
It's a take. I don't know if it's the best
take. Gonna miss this.
But there's two former misfits that play for the Florida Panthers, Tomáš Nosek and Nate Schmidt.
There's been like 17 text messages.
Has there?
To the text line
about
this specifically.
I do not see one. I have not seen one. I'm on.
Okay.
I've gone through and I don't see any. So.
Okay.
Seriously? You're saying you don't see any of those?
I've gone through the first two pages. I didn't see any.
There's like nobody gives me access to the text line. I'm blocked out of that. So you guys are too elite for to let me in on it.
Yeah,
so,
that's exactly what it is.
So I'm not going to say that they exist or not, but I believe Ryan.
He might be right. I'm just saying I didn't see anyone text that in. So
now I would lean into that, Chapman.
There it is. Penny is the first one I see.
Now, Chapman, lean into it and go, "Hey, I thought that before, but people are now backing me up, and so obviously it's a great idea. But I didn't know about that before, so this is good."
I see two now, Penny and John. So I'll give them credit. They did text it in before I mentioned it. So full credit to Penny and John, both mentioning that Nate Schmidt and Tomáš Nosek are players with the Florida Panthers, and they would get their name on the Stanley Cup for the first time each. So yeah, that's why I'm rooting for Florida.
I'm sorry, buddy.
What?
I should have just let it go.
I mean, I went through. I had to. So the first one I saw was Penny.
Yeah.
Now you think there was just one of them?
No, I see two. I said Penny and John. Those are the two I see.
Penny and John, we've never met. It's Darren. Just wanted to say I've never appreciated a listener text more than the text that you sent. So Penny and John, love you. What are you going to take to Japan that is North American? Like
himself.
Well, no, I have this really cool bucket hat that has pineapples on it. So
of course you do.
That scream North America.
It absolutely screams touristy American.
Some maybe a VGK sweater or two?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, you got to go shopping. You got to do some shopping before you go.
I'm going to, yeah.
Yeah. Let me know when you go shopping and I won't be there.